Now this is a familiar favorite that I can relax and enjoy. Feeling pretty good with this one. Once there was a wise old man who told stories. His mother called him Milton because she thought that was the best thing to call him. And his father called him Erickson because he was called Erickson. And his father had been called Erickson. And his father's father had been called Erickson. All the way down to the first Erickson, whose father had been called Eric. And his patients called him Doctor, which is a noble calling. And I've called on him over and over again for years and years now. You might have been taught that doctor is a word that comes from Latin, and in Latin doctor means both learned and teacher. And it used to be that a master was a teacher when the schoolmaster taught. But when the master becomes a student and learns, then the learned master becomes a doctor and teaches and learns at the same time. Thereby the doctor demonstrates mastery. And I think it might take a doctor to master learning how all this works. And Dr. Milton Erickson, M.D., of Phoenix, Arizona, told the most boring stories ever heard by the ears of man. And you might not think that telling boring stories is a good thing, but it is a good thing. And Dr. Erickson was the best who ever did it. And his stories get better every time you hear them, because there's so much in them that you don't notice every part, every time. And you can always hear the same thing in a new way. If you've ever seen a big sand sculpture at the beach, or seen shows about them on television, or have just heard about them for the first time now, then you know what I'm talking about. You can see tons and tons of wet sand that they use to make the castles and dragons and mountains and valleys and princes and princesses and knights and horses and bridges and caves and everything else that they make. And Dr. Milton Erickson's stories were just like that. Dr. Erickson's stories were full of fascinating bits and pieces that could hold your attention so well that you could focus intensely on the story he was telling, and your focus would be so intense that everything else could just begin to fade away. Now that might have been because he was such a fascinating man himself. You see, he was tone deaf and color blind and could only really appreciate one color. That was the color purple, and you know that's a different story. But this story is about Dr. Erickson, and he would wear purple clothes, and he had purple things in his office, and he even had a purple telephone. And when someone calls you on a purple telephone, you listen, don't you? And you know that it doesn't matter how a purple telephone sounds different, does it, as long as you get the message. And Dr. Erickson had been paralyzed by polio when he was very young, and then again when he was 17, and he had learned to walk 3 times, and that's a lot of learning, especially because he had to keep starting to learn again and again. Now, Dr. Erickson's stories were just like the sand sculpture. He would start telling his stories, and people would listen and listen to all the words, sometimes about dragons and damsels in distress and knights on horses, and sometimes about interesting patients that he had treated, and sometimes just about amazing people he knew or exotic places he'd been, and all manner of other things. And they'd never notice all the sand. And they would just get slowly, slowly covered in warm, soft sand. And you know what it feels like at the beach when you sink into the sand. And that's what it would feel like for them. And when you move, the sand moves, and everything settles down that much deeper. And when everything settles down that much deeper, it gets harder to move, and it feels better just like it is. And with all the sand swirling around, it is much more comfortable to keep your eyes closed. And eventually the warm, heavy sand would cover both of those feet, and then pile up on the shins and calves, and then wrap around the knees. Then the warm, comfortable sand would start to press down on the sides and tops of the thighs and hips and waist until they settled down deeper and deeper. Then that warm, heavy, dense sensation would move up around the belly and the ribs, and then the chest and shoulders, just pressing down comfortably, deeply, warmly. And the warm, soft, deep sand can cradle the head while the gentle pressure continues down the arms, the elbows, the forearms, the hands, and the whole body just sinks comfortably into the sand. And it was only when the stories were getting really good and boring, and the sand had built up so comfortably now, that you can listen comfortably with no need to move, that the sand would begin to fill up the first ear. Sometimes the sand would flow up from the bottom, and sometimes it would sprinkle down from the top. And sometimes the sand would fill the right ear first, and sometimes it would fill the left ear first, and sometimes the sand would be just a little bit warmer, and sometimes it would be just a little bit cooler. And the sand would fill the first ear first, and then it would fill the second ear. And the only thing you can do when your right ear and your left ear are completely, honestly, comfortably filled with warm, heavy sand, is to relax even more deeply and start listening with your third ear. And I don't know what that means, but I think you do. And you know that you have one ear connected to one part of your brain, and another ear is connected to another part of your brain, and your third ear is connected to another part of your brain. So sometimes you hear something and remember, and sometimes you hear something and forget, and sometimes you hear something in a completely new and different way, and you do something appropriate with that experience, don't you? So now, while you listen with your third ear, I'm going to tell you a story that Dr. Erickson told, and you can listen all the way through to the end. That's the best way to listen to a story, isn't it? Dr. Erickson said, "Not too long ago, I had a conversation with a man. He had come to see me because he had some bad experiences in his past and some difficulty in the present, and he sometimes felt anxious, and sometimes felt sad, and sometimes felt angry, and wanted to feel better, and had tried to feel better, and had found some ways to feel better that weren't working the way he wanted them to. I said, 'I'll tell you what to do, and you'll do it, and you'll feel better.' And he said, 'Yes, sir.' And I did, and he did, and he did. I told him, 'Slow down.' And I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew that he did, and he was telling me about his various experiences with slowing down. At first, I wasn't sure what he was talking about, but it became clear after a short time. He spoke rather slowly, which was good, because I paid careful attention to the words noticing many details and appreciating his special understanding of slowing down in everyday experience. He mentioned time as told by an hourglass, and contrasted this with time on a clock with hands. He knew full well that some children, if not most of them these days, can't tell time on anything other than a digital clock. When he sat still, he could really notice the feel of the surfaces he was touching. Fabric, or wood, or some kind of plastic, I don't remember. As well as other interesting sensations, like the prickliness of his scalp, or a tingling sensation in his body, or even the very, very subtle difference in the temperature of the air he was breathing in compared with the air he was breathing out. At a shopping mall one time, he sat down, just sat there very still, and tuned out all the noise. He sat for what seemed like a long, long time, although in reality, not much time had passed at all. People streaming by, just a blur of movement. All of a sudden, someone passed by very slowly, which definitely got his attention. That person who took so long to walk by reminded him of other pattern interruptions. When you're observing something or doing something over and over and over and over, and something different suddenly catches your attention. Like sometimes you can be worried or upset or angry or something else, and something can unexpectedly catch your attention, and everything else just fades away. Just fades away. All the while he talked about things going on outside, he began to slow down on the inside, and he called this both a comfortable and interesting experience, not unlike something he had done sometime in the past, but he couldn't really remember exactly when. He said that a tree grows rather slowly, but with flowers and other plants, you can see changes week to week. He remembered once seeing the morning sun shine pink through a rabbit's ear, and the smell of chalk dust brought back memories of his schoolroom long ago. It was interesting how these and other memories lingered slowly in his mind. Delicately delayed is how he described it. Talking about memories allowed him to appreciate slowing down on the inside while describing outside phenomena. And this produced a similar slowing down. A slowness deeper inside was the way he put it. It developed deeper in a slow and gradual sort of way, he added, along with something about growth of a strong tree, its branches up above, and its roots deep down below. But I forget exactly what the words were way back then. He remembered once how they built a skyscraper, and down in the bottom they sealed up a time capsule which someone would find someday. Years passed, and then one day he found himself walking by that building. It was a warm, sunny day. As he talked about this, he was unaware of curling up his toes and the feeling inside his feet, and he continued to talk about time capsules, and even the idea of time travel as it's depicted in science fiction. In a car one time, he rode across a time zone. In a big country like Russia, with 9 time zones, people would probably forget to keep setting their watches on planes and trains, but doing so really wouldn't matter until you got where you were going. The idea of time zones produced a different sort of slowing down inside both his mind and his body, though the feeling wasn't really connected. Together, but at the same time apart, was his description. I knew what he meant by that. His hands felt very heavy out there. He recalled how the evening before bedtime often passes quickly, and time on vacation is seldom slow. While out there, driving, a person waits for a light to change, which is invariably slow, as is time sitting in a meeting or a class. He thought about how quickly something came to mind once, and how then his mind lingered on just why that thought had occurred precisely then. Was it a word or something else that stimulated the experience of having been there some time before? Perhaps it was yesterday, or many years before. He would never know. At any rate, by thinking about all these things, his mind had suddenly become very active, while his body had really slowed down by comparison. And Dr. Erickson noted that his breathing had changed while he told the story, and you can remember very clearly the way you feel now any time when you take a deep breath or notice your breathing. And this story about the man had a lot of sand in it. And when the Sandman says relax, you know what that means. Even if you don't know what that means, don't you? And Dr. Erickson worked in a psychiatric hospital right after he graduated from medical school, and he learned a lot from the people he met there. And you know that NASA counts down before the rockets go up, and that what goes up must come down, and everyone is up for some downtime now and then. And once, Dr. Erickson told a story while he was counting, and I'm counting on you to listen carefully with your third ear. The story is called The Three Lessons, said Dr. Erickson. And as those numbers go down, I'd like you to imagine yourself going down into a deeper and deeper and even more comfortable and pleasant state of relaxation. 10. 9. Once, not too long ago, there was a young boy who lived in another state. I don't remember if it was Washington or Georgia or New Mexico or someplace else. 8. 7. He heard about a wise old man who lived deep in the woods, and he figured that the wise old man was someone who could help him with his problem. So he went to a lot of trouble to find directions to his house, and once he did, he set out through the woods. 6. 5. It was late November, and it was cold. He could see his breath, and as he passed by an icy stream, he bent down and put his hand into the cold, cold water. In a moment, he noticed his fingertips going numb from the cold. Eventually, up ahead in a clearing, he saw the house, and when he got there, he knocked on the door. From inside the house, he heard a voice say, "You may come in," which was lesson number 1. 4. 3. It was warm in the house, and he looked around at all the things in there. And finally he could contain himself no longer and blurted out, "I want to know everything you know, so I can help myself with my problem." And the wise old man looked deeply into the boy's eyes and said, "I see that you already know everything that you need to know, except that you don't know yet that you do know all those things." Which was lesson number 2. Finally, as it was nearing the time to go, the young boy looked up again at the wise old man, who said, "You must listen very closely." Which was lesson number 3. The young boy left, and we know that everything worked out just fine for him too. 2. 1. And my voice will go with you. And you can hear my voice when you read to yourself, or when you're thinking very hard. And my voice will be the wind, and the rain, and the happy voices of memories. And you can hear my voice as you fall asleep, and as you wake up. And you can always listen very closely and hear my voice. And any time you want to, you can take a deep breath, or just notice your breathing, and go deeper and deeper. And sometimes you might hear me say, "Relax." And sometimes you might hear me say, "Relax." And you'll always know the difference, won't you? And when you hear me tell you to relax, you'll know exactly what to do, even though you don't know how you know it. And you've always been bright. And you know how old Southern ladies will tell you that if you're working hard, that you're being smart. And you know that sometimes if you're really smart, there's not any work to it at all. Things just happen on their own. And you are well on the way to learning what relaxation really means now, aren't you? And I've always been surprised at how you can remember the lesson without remembering the learning. Because there are lots of things that you know without knowing how you know them. And sometimes you remember only what is important and forget all the rest. And that is a good thing to do, isn't it? And you know what the Sandman says. And each and every time you listen to this recording, you will be able to relax more and more, won't you? You'll go deeper and deeper into a state of complete comfort and relaxation, and you'll feel a growing sense of inner calm each time you listen. And that sense of relaxation and calm can go with you into the world more and more each time you listen. And you'll find that you will be able to enjoy the feeling of relaxation and calm more and more each time you listen to this recording. And I don't know if you'll want to listen more and more as time passes, but I do know that you can listen as often as you'd like to. You can even compare the days when you do listen with the days when you don't listen and decide which you like better. But there's no need to think about that now. For your unconscious mind really doesn't have anything of importance to do. Because the important thing is the listening by your unconscious mind. Now there are certain changes taking place of which you are unaware. Already your blood pressure has changed and you haven't even noticed. Your respiration has slowed down and your heart rate has slowed. Now, I'm just going to talk to you. When you first started to learn letters, I don't know if it was in kindergarten or first grade or even before all that, but you had to learn the alphabet, and looking at all those letters seemed to be an insurmountable task. And you had to learn the difference between an A and a B from a D, an M from a W, and a P from a Q, and upper and lower case letters. But you learned them by creating mental images of the letters in your mind. You learned that if you had two long straight lines, with a little straight line connecting them, that it could be an A or an H. And you learned how to tell the difference. And then you had to learn cursive script, and that seemed to be an insurmountable task. The lines weren't straight anymore, and some of them didn't look anything like the letters you already knew. But you did it by developing images of those letters in your mind, both upper and lower case. And that has been a permanent learning that has stayed with you all your life. Now, I don't know where you chose to listen to this recording, or even what time of day it is. I don't know if you have other things you need to do, or if you can just take off your headphones and be done for now. But I do know that you can choose to either wake up feeling refreshed and renewed, just like you've taken a good long nap, or else you can switch everything off and drift down into a comfortable, normal sleep and have some of the most pleasant dreams. And I know that it will take time for you to make your decision. It will certainly take more than a minute, but I know that you'll be doing whatever you decided in less than 5 minutes. And I don't know if you'll make the same decision that you made last time, or even if you'll make your decision faster or slower. And all the little animals all know exactly what to do when the rain falls silently on the forests in South America. And I do know that of all the changes that are happening, one of them can start now.